Who's out there on the WFO line?
That's Dr. Surface, Joe. How are you?
Dr. Phil Surface. How are you doing in this time of doubt and questions? We have got a doctor in the house. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Busy. A lot of things on the table, but overall doing well. Happy to be safe and relatively unscathed at this point. A little busy, but doing well.
I appreciate
you. Good to be here talking with you.
Well, I appreciate you making the time. You know, we started up this kind of an impromptu Friday cocktail show a week ago, and people actually liked it. You know, it's the end of the week, and, people are in a situation where, you know, it's a little stressful out there. So to just kind of like have a conversation with some folks that we don't catch up with on a regular basis, we wish we did, though, certainly being back out there racing. So I appreciate you you weighing in. So, Dr. Phil, give me a obviously, I want to lean on your expertise a little bit because you're a doctor, after all. But like, what are you what occupies your days during this crisis?
Well, we're still practicing orthopedic surgery and sports medicine, albeit in a much different fashion. We've had to change, the approach to seeing patients. We've shifted towards and made a big pivot towards telemedicine and telehealth to try to keep people from getting out in the community. So we've been busy ramping up that technology and making sure it's compliant and feasible for patients. And then, working a lot towards planning and preparation with the hospital and being in meetings. And the hospital has had to shift gears and ramp up for the expected cases that we may receive and sort of ramp down our elective surgery. So there's been a lot of meetings, administrative work, and a lot of stuff to occupy our time. And but staying busy, but a bit different than the normal day of seeing patients in surgery.
I can imagine. And unfortunately, the bummer of no drag racing as a hobby to get out there and blow off steam, or certainly to see the extended drag racing family. Now, you did mention that, the telehealth virtual doctor's visits part of this. I'm a silver lining guy. Like, I'm always thinking about, like, how's the world going to change, right? And I think that is one of the positive things that may come out of this, because I always wondered, and I want your opinion, like, man, I'm not that sick, but I'm going to where the sick people are, the doctor's office, the waiting room, who's in there? And I always, it wasn't really possible to just be home and get on a FaceTime or get in front of a webcam and talk to my doctor. Back in the day, a long time ago, doctors would actually come to me as opposed to having all the people go to the same place and sit in a waiting room. I think that might actually be a positive thing that comes out of this. What about you, the telehealth thing that's happening?
Yes, I think it's going to be a very positive thing for healthcare. And, it's a shame that a crisis like this has, forced this technology on us in a way that it's been forced on us. I mean, it's just unfortunate to be in this situation. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, this is a genie that's not going to be able to be put it back in the bottle. And it's going to cause a major change in the way healthcare is delivered in the United States. Now, of course, it's not going to replace the doctor's visit. Of course, we have to examine people and so forth. But as you say, there's room for the chat, the discussion, and the technology allows for the physicians to observe and can direct a patient to do a self-guided physical exam. And again, I think you're right. I think that this is going to be one of the many positives that come from this crisis. I think there's others. It's hard to see. People are in despair. They're worried. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their friends. They're missing drag racing and other activities. And it's hard to see. the future. But I think there's going to be several things positive that come from this. And the telehealth, telemedicine is certainly one of them.
Tremendous. Now, I don't want to put you in any kind of awkward situation. I really wanted to connect with you and just, you know, hear your voice and get your thoughts on what we're going through. So, you know, you do not have to answer any questions that I might ask that might be, you know, the kind of question that is requires that you don't know the answer to, frankly. But
sure.
we're hearing so much out there right now, like our own Bobby Bennett, meaning drag racing family member Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, just posted a story that he actually you know, he got the COVID-19, and it really was very, very tough on him. And I think that was the first face that we know that came out and said, hey, I had this, and Bobby, like, willing to be the face of that. And I think it changed the attitude. I think a lot of people that I encountered were, I'm going to say it, not taking it seriously, like, you know, this is not a thing. It's a cold. It's just another flu. Everybody, flu gets happens every once a year. It's no big deal. All of a sudden, I think people are taking it seriously. How do you think that this has been handled and observed by people generally? Like, are they taking it seriously enough?
Well, I think in overall, the country and the area where I'm located, among many others, have handled it fairly well. Of course, when you have a big crisis like this, you know, there's plenty of room for miscalculations and errors in judgment. You know, you're trying to hit a moving target. So there's mistakes that have been made, in my opinion, and will be made by policymakers and others right down the line. But I think, you know, by and large, things have been handled well. I know specifically the hospital where I'm located has done a tremendous job in preparation, and many others have. You know, you mentioned Bobby. Man, I'm so thankful. I mean, I've known, as you've known Bobby for a long time, and I'm so thankful that he's well. And it does put a personal touch to it. I think that this is going to pan out so that we all have loved ones, close friends, family, that are not only we're going to have folks that are sick with the virus, but I'm sure that we're all going to be touched by some deaths before this is over with. I think this is a very serious situation, and I've said that from the beginning, extremely serious, but there is hope. There's lots of things that are working, lots of things that have the potential to make a big difference. And so these viruses are very strange actors to begin with. But I think that by and large, everyone's handled it well. Can you imagine, you know, how we would feel if we would have had the race in Gainesville and Bobby would have been there and been sick and interacting with dozens and dozens of people? Imagine the concern that we would all have now. It would be even that much magnified. So there's been a lot of good moves made by a lot of different people.
Wow. Now that you mention it, okay, how about this? I'm on top of this story from prior to the Gator Nationals because my father, who is 77 years old and has COPD, so he's very vulnerable. We've been watching and tracking the progress of this. And we also had, and I think I've told you this, a 40-year consecutive streak, father and son going to this race together. And we have had some like really tough years where we overcame many obstacles to go to the race. And so this would have been our 41st consecutive year. And leading into the race, like, you know, 10 days out, 9 days out, etc., like we were really like laboring, like, should he go? Should he not go? It's probably not a good idea. He spoke with his doctors. His doctors told him, frankly, you're crazy if you go be around a big crowd. You're so vulnerable, et cetera, and so on. So he didn't go, Doc. He didn't go, and he stayed home, and he was really sad. Like, he was sad, like, oh, man. And, you know, we came up with many rationalizations as to why it was not the biggest deal. It's like, Dad, hey, the first Gator Nationals I go to without you is not because you're no longer here on the earth. It's because, you know, you'll be there when I get home. You know, that's a positive spin. Anyway, long story short, they pull the plug on the race, which I thought, wow, okay, that tells me something. My point is, I hadn't even connected the dots till you just said it right now. What if they had had the race? Bobby would have been at the race. I would have given Bobby a hug. I would have said, what's up to Bobby Bennett? There's no doubt I would have been very close to Bobby Bennett because Bobby Bennett is a friend. And that alone, like, puts a new reality on the whole deal. And I read Bobby's story, and I went to the Gator Nationals, and I never connected it until right now. And maybe that means I'm not the smartest guy in the world, or maybe it means that I'm just it's just doesn't work that way. You don't think about all those connections until it's too late.
Well, that's true. You don't, and it's perfectly understandable that you wouldn't necessarily think of those things. But you know, being in close contact and communication with the leadership of the NHRA right up until the event, you know, of course, those were the things that I was called on to think about when my opinion was requested. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we all wanted to go to the Gator Nationals. We all love the race. We love the fans. We love all of our family, our racing family. And we all look forward to getting back together and enjoying each other's company and the friendly and sometimes unfriendly competition. But this is an example of where sacrifice sometimes is necessary for the good of countless numbers of people. And, you know, who knows? It's very speculative, but I dare say that if Bobby would have been at the races, I would imagine, and I'm not 100% sure of the timing, but as a quick read through his article, it caused me to pause for a moment and think, wow, you know, there would be a whole lot more close personal friends that I have right now that I'd be laying awake at night worrying about, in addition to the others that I'm already worrying about. So sacrifice, it is what it is. It's tough, but if we realize that, you know, it's for the good, then we can do it, and we are doing it. And hey, you know, drag racers are tough, resilient, intelligent, wonderful people. That's why I've stayed in it all these years, and I think they understand that, and I think that they're going to step up to the plate and make the sacrifices necessary to help the country, to help the sport, to help each other. And so I'm encouraged by that.
I hope so. I hope that is the case. As we are all stuck in our homes, and you know, where I live, Broward County, Florida, has just, you know, it's a suggestion, a recommendation to stay home. I've been staying home. I work from home, so it's not like the biggest change from life without the without going to races. Though it's, you know, I'm on the Facebook all the time, right? And so I'm seeing a lot of misinformation, and I'm sure you see it. I don't know how often you go on the social media because you are a doctor and you have things to do, but it's a little disheartening to me because I've seen a lot of information that, number one, I know is not true. And then number two, like, I'm not sure that it's true or not true, but it certainly feels not true. And then three, just what I would call just taking it lightly. Like when our friends in California are asked to stay home, they're like, no, man, I want to go to work. Work is more important. I'm going to work. Who cares what they say? That's the kind of stuff that's bugging me a little bit.
Yes, it bugs me some too. Here in West Virginia, where I'm based, we have basically a lockdown. I mean, only necessary services are open, and everyone's supposed to be staying at home. Not everyone's following along with the recommendations, and I think we're going to find that everywhere. But you know, the misinformation that's out there, there's a lot of it. But to give the public credit, both on social media and others that I've talked to, you know, immunology and epidemiology is very, very difficult to understand. It's statistical based, and a lot of the statistics are weird and difficult for a lot of folks. And the biology of viruses is just you know, it's weird. And so it's hard to understand. And I think that makes it much more tough to comprehend what's going on. And I think that lends itself to a lot of speculation and a lot of wild accusations, a lot of grasping at false straws and so forth. But it's a tough, complicated subject to begin with. And I've been spending a lot of my time trying to put the science into terms that people can understand, patients can understand, family, friends, of course. You know, a lot of people are looking to me as sort of, hey, interpret this for me. And I've spent a lot of time looking at it and trying to come up with some homespun, I guess, explanations. So it's a challenge to even do that. And I don't understand all of the, I'm not a virologist, I'm not an epidemiologist, but it's tough. And so it creates a lot of room for speculation.
Well, exactly. I received today, and you don't have to comment on this, but it is something that I just got, and I've only started to notice today, something about ibuprofen, right? And I instruct everybody to do as much research as you can, but I all of a sudden was hit by a wave of information about ibuprofen and its relationship to this. Now, I don't know if it's true or it's not true, or who knows, maybe others are seeing it, but just a perfect example of a wave of information that has hit me and now I have to process.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of that information out there, and most of it has a kernel of truth to it. I'm familiar with the ibuprofen and the related drugs and how it's been reported to have adverse outcomes or to negatively influence the course of the disease in people. And I think there's probably something to that. The problem is that in all of these patients, there is hundreds of variables. You know, every person that walks in a hospital, every person that walks into my office every day has their own set of variables. They're, you know, every person reacts differently to every different drug. And so the challenge becomes trying to associate inputs and outputs. And so what's getting reported a lot now is a lot of associations. I don't think we know enough about this disease to have proof of anything, really, other than it's extremely easy to transmit, and it has a significantly bad course in a significant number of people. But we haven't had time to really sort out all of the facts of the matter. But typically there is something to these things. There is a kernel of truth to them, and sometimes there's a huge truth to them. I think, you know, examples of the chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine and other medications and all fall in that category. I think that there's probably a good bit of promise there. I think it's that anecdotally we're seeing things that are have the appearance of being helpful, and time will tell. But you have to be careful, you know, in what you read. There's no question. But clearly, you know, some of the things that we're doing are making a difference. It's someone today was asking me about the idea of trying to decrease the slope of the curve. And I think most everybody understands this on a pretty good level. But this guy that was talking to me didn't understand it. And he thought that we should just let the disease run its course. It would be over quicker. And I told him that he was right. It would be over quicker. We would pass through this a lot faster, but we would have a lot more terrible stories. And he said, well, tell me, explain it to me. And I said, well, imagine if I had a 55-gallon drum of badness, whatever it was, right? I've got a 55-gallon drum of this badness. Well, I can dump it on you all at one time, or we can siphon it out slowly through a garden hose and trickle it over you. Which one would you rather? Which one can you deal with the best? Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, so you know, there's a lot of the epidemiology is weird. A lot of the information is strange and hard to comprehend. But there's a lot of good people working on it. There's a lot of people that I have confidence in, both nationally and locally, and I think we'll get through this. It's just going to be tough. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I appreciate you saying that. I'm confident that you're confident. I do recognize that there are so many people. We're such a big country. There's so many people out there, and you know, you can't blame any one of them for being ignorant of any subject, right? There are certainly many subjects that I'm ignorant of, as everybody knows, and it's just a crisis. And so all of a sudden, everybody's attention is focused and they want to be helpful and they're on the web and they're moving information around, and sometimes it's inaccurate. But I like the way you explained that. In that, you know, the badness in this case, like, man, I don't want to lose my dad. My friend Paul's dad is older. You know, all these older people that have been so great to us over these years, like, they're the most vulnerable. But not just them, apparently. I'm seeing that the numbers of, you know, the South Florida folks, the young people on the beaches, the spring breakers, the sandbars got a lot of publicity recently. And now it turns out that they're not, not that they were ever immune, but now they're just as much a target as anybody else.
Yes, I think that, you know, overall and over large numbers, we're going to find that it is much more dangerous in older folks. But there are a significant number of younger people that this disease gets a hold of, and it can take a very sharply negative course. And so, you know, I think we all need to be careful and do our part. I think, you know, the fact that you mentioned that there's a lot of people that aren't taking it seriously, and those behaviors sort of show up occasionally. Sometimes they're irritating and sometimes they're not really that irritating, but you just notice that these folks are not really doing their part. But if most people can do it, if most people, the majority is all that we need. You know, you hear the words herd immunity. I'm sure you've seen that bandied about.
Sure.
And the kind of way that works is that, you know, you distribute a bunch of seeds, you throw a bunch of seeds to the wind, and the seeds have to land on fertile, moist soil before the plant grows. And sort of herd immunity is that way. So if you take the majority of people that do the right thing, there's a lot of seeds that fall on unfertile ground, right? So you don't have to have 100% of the population behaving themselves. You just have to have a large majority. And I wouldn't want anyone to take that as a license to go do whatever they want. I would encourage people to continue to follow the president and his team follow their guidelines with regard to stay at home, avoiding social contact and all that. I don't mean to imply that, it's not that critical, because it is. But the bottom line is that a few bad actors are not going to ruin the whole barrel of apples for us, just because of the statistics and the way the virus, these viruses work.
Well, that is great news. Now this, you know, Friday cocktails, right? It's a light conversation, except we're in a very serious situation. And so I appreciate your very serious and sober analysis. And that's why I wanted to have you on. Like, this is the perfect time to have you on. But let's shift gears a little bit to our mutual hobby, which is drag racing and race cars. As excited as we were to go to the Gator Nationals, didn't work out. But we do have a revised schedule out now. Gainesville, June 5th through 7th, and a race season that is going to include ultimately 19 races, 17 yet to run, assuming we get back out there. I hope that is the case. I'm willing to accept whatever happens. But no countdown, right? No points reset. A lot of kind of one-off 2020 specific things going on that makes it very interesting.
Yeah, it does. It makes it very interesting. And, you know, it's another situation of for optimism. I mean, I think that it adds some excitement. It adds a new twist. It adds something a little different. It's allowing us, some may say forcing us, to think outside the box a little bit. It's forcing the NHRA to think outside the box. And And so I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to see how we can react to change and how we can perhaps have opportunities to learn from it. I think I've been in close contact with the leadership team. Of course, I'm always in contact with them and work with them all year long. But lately, a lot of close contact. And I will say that I applaud their work. I think that they've done a good job with the situation that they were dealt. And I think it's worth saying, you know, I don't know whether everyone will agree, but I think it's worth giving those folks a pat on the back. It's a tough situation that they're in, and they've done a good job with it. So I think next year, the rest of the season is an opportunity for us to do things a little different, and that's exciting. And I think the fans, it's going to be a little different for them, but it's an opportunity for us to learn and do things a little different.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited about it, and we got to get through this before we get to that, but at least we've got something good waiting for us on the other side.
Yes.
Dr. Phil, thank you so much. How's Leanne doing?
Oh, she's doing great. She's putting in a lot of hours, but she's on the management team of the hospital, so, she's in early and home late for weeks now, but she's tough, she's smart, and I'm glad that we have people like her in the position she's in, because she's a problem solver. So I'm proud of her, and she's doing great. I appreciate you asking.
Well, of course, you guys are like a unit. You know, we have come to expect to see you guys together out there at the racetrack, and I appreciate it. Just want to get back to that world, and I know everybody does also. Now, listen, this is just this is a casual conversation here. We've got you booked for some time in the future, because we are going to have a conversation about crash dynamics. You have you and I have been talking off the record at these racetracks. I've got one listener, Dr. Phil. Let's tease it a little bit, right? He incessantly posts on our Facebook page about safer barriers being involved in drag racing. Like, you guys need safer barriers. And I keep fighting back against him. It's like, Dr. Phil says that's a bad idea. And there's a lot of people that say that's a bad idea. And if it was such a great idea, we would be doing it. Like, these people are not, masochists. They want to keep their drivers safe. And so that's a conversation I want to have with you. I know we're going to have time maybe in the coming weeks, but tease it a little bit, because there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I look forward to that conversation. I look forward to talking to you about that. I think that I think it's cool that you have people that are passionate about safety. I think it's cool that people are, you know, bringing that to the table and discussing it with you and bringing it up and wanting to move the ball forward. I think it makes for good conversation. It makes for good topic to I won't say debate, but to review with people, because once again, that is a tough physics problem, and it really requires a lot of thinking that is maybe outside the box to really go through all of the algorithm associated with safer barriers. It's a much bigger equation than people think. So I think that would be a great conversation. And but man, it's cool that people are bringing it up. It's cool that people are thinking about it. And I think it's cool that people, fans and others, are always pushing us to focus on those things that are important in the sport. And one of those things that's important, maybe the most important, is safety. So that's cool. And it'd be great to talk about that with you, Joe. I'd love to do that at any time.
All right. Let's make an appointment right now as we work our way through this health and medical crisis, and we get closer to talking about drag racing. That's something that's definitely on the list. We'll do it. But Dr. Phil, I appreciate you jumping on here and having a little fun with us. End of the week. Fun giving us some solace and a calm voice in a storm. I appreciate it. We've come to expect that from you out at the track, and now we're getting it here in this tough situation. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and you know, and hanging out with us.
Yes, thank you, Joe, and thanks to all your fans. You got a lot of loyal followers out there that really love the drag racing world, and they love what you do. And I want to say that I really appreciate them being there for all of us in the sport. And thanks for having me, Joe. Be safe. Be careful. All the fans out there, please take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. And look for opportunities in this problem. And we're going to get through it. So have a good one, Joe. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil Surface, one of the great people out there in the world of the NHRA who is very smart and very serious, but loves drag racing. And early this week, I thought, this is the guy to have on. This is the guy to have on at what point and have a discussion.